Hi, it's Dacker. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there, which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness.
When I first got into a relationship with Lewis, I kind of thought to myself, this person doesn't seem like a person that has been imprisoned for as long as he has. He had such a balance to his personality, to the way that he carried himself. I'm like, what is going on with this person? We saw each other for 2 years. Initially, I kind of kept him at arm's length because I figured that this isn't what my life is supposed to be. You know, I'm supposed to find someone in the world, you know, living outside of the walls and meet and marry, fall in love, you know, everything on the outside. Never considered someone behind prison walls. And then I had to ask myself after I took a couple of steps back, what makes this person any different from any other, aside from his history, which was major? But aside from that, he had come such a long way that I could not and would not discount his friendship. And that's where it started. We did a lot of laughing. We discovered we had a lot in common. Some of the ideas, I should say, that his parents had as far as bringing them up. But then, you know, it has a real hard line in stopping because you see the different paths that our lives took. When you run across somebody who is as genuine and caring and loving, just more man than I have ever met, you know, in my life, it's something to recognize. It really is.
When Teresa Scott first met Lewis, he'd been in prison for almost 2 decades, part of a 109-year prison sentence for sex trafficking. During his time in prison, Lewis started an anti-sex trafficking program, he became a journalist, and he fell in love with Teresa. Teresa joins us today as our happiness guinea pig. She tried a research-based practice to boost her well-being and help deal with the stresses that come with trying to get Lewis out of prison. Teresa, thanks for being with us today.
You're quite welcome, Dacker. Thank you.
I had the great privilege of meeting Lewis through restorative justice work that he leads in San Quentin Prison, and it's been a transformative process for prisoners and also for people like me. And you met Lewis through your friend. She was visiting someone in San Quentin and asked if you wanted to come along to meet Lewis. The two of you instantly connected, and now you're married.
Yes.
What's it like getting married in San Quentin?
You can invite up to 5 guests, and the good thing is that your visit cannot get terminated for the rest. If it gets overcrowded, they cannot terminate you, so that's a good thing. It was a little happy moment there. But yeah, so they do it right there on the grounds, and they have a room. It's got a door on it, and so it's kind of quiet, and you could say vows if you want. And so that's where it happens. It's pretty quick and uneventful. I remember the lady who married us, she was like, okay, let's get this next one on the road. I got a birthday party to go to. I'm like, is she kidding? I couldn't believe it. But yeah, so it does happen.
So Teresa, I know you're dealing with all the legal issues with Lewis's case, and I mean, how in the world do you keep perspective with that kind of stress? What do you do?
If I had to take a step back and look at it, I have to say that I think I have a pretty strong personality and a will, pretty strong will. A big part of it is not letting him down. because I know that he does not belong there anymore. He's not a person that should have gotten the time that he was given.
No.
I do what I can.
You know, one of the amazing things to follow in the show is just the practices that people choose, you know, put into the role of the happiness guinea pig. And you chose gaining perspective on negative events. Can you walk us through the steps of the gaining perspective on negative events practice?
Sure. It takes about 5 minutes. First, you take a few moments, think about a difficult experience you're dealing with or some anxiety or worry you have about the future. Then you can try to understand your feelings using you, he, she, and in my case, Teresa, as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
So I'd ask myself, why does Teresa feel this way? What are the underlying causes and reasons for her feelings? If you begin to see the event in your mind, try to watch through the eyes of a distant third-party observer. Then the goal here isn't to avoid or separate from your feelings, but to analyze with a clearer perspective. Spend 3 minutes reflecting in this way, writing down your thoughts if you feel so inclined.
And your negative event, no surprise, is your husband Lewis being in prison.
The trials of getting Lewis out of prison.
Yeah.
It involves finding an attorney that's not going to take advantage of you. Mm. It involves making sure that I go to visit him to keep his spirits up while we're trying to work on getting him out of prison.
Yeah.
It involves making him feel like he'll have a home to come to when he's out of prison. It means allowing him to express himself when he has his bad days and listening and being a sounding board when he needs it, which is every other day.
Yeah.
It involves putting up with the staff. They seem like it's their goal, you know, to piss you off for that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Not the usual complexities for a marriage.
Not at all.
So the basic idea of the gaining perspective on negative events practices, you kind of get outside of your own immersed point of view and you look at yourself. You know, my first experience of this was kind of comical. My parents told me they're getting divorced. I was 16 and it was traumatic. And I remember that night I had this chance to go bounce on a trampoline with friends.
Uh-huh.
And I literally was getting perspective on my life by like floating in the air. And that's kind of the idea, is you use different kind of mental practices or cognitive devices to look at your stress from the outside. And you actually took the perspective of a friend, someone living across the street.
I was my best friend that I didn't know was there.
Cool.
And so I took a couple steps back, like across the street, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying, you know, she had the opportunity to make that person feel better about themselves. Why didn't she?
Yeah.
And things like, I wouldn't do that if I was her. You know,
and the her in this case is you.
Yes. Yes, it most definitely is.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to be able to have a perspective of yourself from being able to step outside of yourself and look at what you're doing, what you're saying, why you're saying it, who you're saying it to. I actually said, don't argue with the correctional officer because you know what they did to the other person that had an argument with them.
They don't get to visit anymore.
They have that capability.
Yeah.
Yeah, to stop your visits. And so I had to say, you know, it's not worth it. Don't do it. You remember that, you know, Susie, let's just say, got her visits suspended for a year.
Yeah. And this is the voice of this friend who's counseling you.
Yes.
Wow. Was there difficulty in doing this?
Very difficult.
Yeah. How come?
Because I usually like to say what I want to say when I want to say it. I have groomed myself to assert myself because I'm like 5'1 and 3/4 of an inch. I always like have to have my 3/4 of an inch.
It matters.
Yes, it does. And being female.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to assert yourself in a certain way.
But self-assertion changes once you're dealing with correctional officers and the power dynamics in prison, as I've learned. I'm curious, Teresa, when you took this friend across the street's perspective on that dynamic, how did it make you feel?
It was a reckoning within myself.
Absolutely.
It was a reckoning. Some of the things that my best friend from across the street that she asked me were things that I have thought about before, but I didn't have someone else asking them.
Yeah.
I think what made the difference for me is instead of thinking about it inside my head was to verbalize it out loud.
Yep.
That is what made the difference, because when you hear the words,
yeah,
it sounds a lot different from you keeping it quiet to yourself.
That's amazing.
In your own head.
Yeah.
But the minute the words spill from your lips and you can't get them back, you're like, oh my God, what did I just say? You hear it out loud and it's a completely different feeling.
Yeah, that is cool. The power of spoken word. One of my favorite studies of the gaining perspective literature is actually they had people who are in conflict with a romantic partner do this, you know, social conflict. And mm-hmm. somehow looking at yourself from a different perspective, as you've described, help people sort of communicate more peacefully, and their blood pressure dropped a little. So it's just, we all need that.
Uh-huh.
So then, being the creative type that you are, you actually did the gaining perspective practice with Lewis. How'd that go?
You know, it turned out a little bit differently because it's hard to talk third person when you're actually in a one-on-one conversation with someone.
It gets confusing.
It does.
Yeah.
It's like, did you mean me? I'm sorry, were you talking to her? You know, I guess we did our own thing once we got in there, but it turned out interesting.
Do you mind if we listen in to your conversation with Lewis?
Not at all.
Bye. And before we do, tell us how you got this conversation recorded.
He called me from, quote, the house phone. And the house phone is considered the pay phone at the prison that the inmates use to call family members and friends with.
And is it hard to get access to?
Well, you have to wait in line.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know if he was going to be able to call me when he needed to. I think he said he was 10th in line. And so I'm waiting, you know, for him to call. And so he called me on the house phone and we started the conversation. And then I had my cell phone recording our conversation. So I had put him on speakerphone.
Okay, great. Well, let's listen in.
Babe, how was your day today?
It was okay so far.
I know a lot of the time I find myself thinking, how much time are we going to spend, you know, getting you out of prison? And I just say, you know, Teresa, what are you going to do if Lewis doesn't get out of prison? And my answer is, okay, you already know that he's going to get out. That's what I feel in my heart.
I love you to death. I'm always so thankful that I appreciate him. Not a lot of people would take on this burden of marrying someone who's been incarcerated for almost 23 years with a sentence of 190 years plus 4 months, right? That is exceptional.
I was never in love with anyone until meeting you and getting to know you. I don't feel like there's anybody that even comes close to giving me what I get from you. That's why I married you. We put so much energy into both of us, making sure that this relationship survives, you know, everything that we go through while trying to get you out of prison. So,
we have 60 seconds remaining.
It's unbelievable sometimes that I can meet somebody in this situation that makes me happier than I've ever been in my entire life. You know, knowing my background, you know, I did all the criminal activities, chasing all the wrong things in life, thinking that those things I acquired would bring me happiness. I'm in prison and I want to get out. I'm happier now than I've ever been in my entire life.
That's saying something.
And I just want to tell you that I love you.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Mm.
I just want to say thank you, babe.
You're welcome, babe.
You know, Lewis referred to it, and, you know, and there are all these interesting things about this kind of experience that you've thrown yourself into, Teresa, of falling in love with someone in prison. How mm-hmm. would you, you know, that he talked about feeling happier now in conversation with you than he's ever felt in his life. How do you tell your friends about this relationship? How do you describe love with somebody on the other side?
I know when I first started seeing him, my sister specifically, she said, this is going to be so difficult. And I said, I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah.
She just kind of looked at me like, you idiot. So I felt like I was up to it, and I haven't backed down yet. And that was 5 years ago.
Right on.
Yeah.
What do you think your biggest takeaway is from doing this practice?
My biggest takeaway would have to be seeing myself and my relationship with Lewis in a more, I want to say, healthier light. In other words, I kind of give myself permission to think a certain way about the situation. And the only way to be positive for me is to consider those negatives, work through them, and have everything be put on the table for myself and for Lewis and work it out. I mean, that's the big accomplishment, is being able to take that step back, look at everything for what it is, as if I'm not myself. We do it all the time. We do it people watching.
Yeah.
And it's kind of exciting because it makes you aware of how we feel.
Well, Teresa, I want to express my gratitude for all the work you do alongside your working on Lewis's case. And thank you for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Dacher. Thanks for inviting me in.
Hey, grownups. Have some curious kids in your life? I'm Molly Bloom, the host of Brains On, a science podcast for curious kids and adults. Each week, a different kid co-host joins me to find answers to fascinating questions like, can you dig a hole to the center of the earth? Do plants have feelings? And why do we lie? Plus, we have mystery sounds to guess, songs to dance to, and lots of facts, all checked by experts. You can listen to Brains On wherever you listen to podcasts.
When we shift from thinking or talking about ourselves in the first person, as I or me, to you, or in my case, Dacher, we start to see ourselves through the eyes of an outside observer, and that helps us deal with our negative feelings in a more constructive way. A lot of this research has been done by Ethan Cross, a professor of psychology at the University of Michigan. Ethan wanted to better understand why third-person self-talk is so good for our mental health. To do that, he studied people's brain activity.
We brought people into an fMRI lab, and we had them reflect on a series of negative autobiographical memories that were still quite painful. So, for example, you might think of the last time you were rejected by someone at work or in love. We reminded people about these memories that they had told us about while we were measuring blood flow to different parts of their brain using an MRI machine. And half of the time, we would cue people to reflect on their feelings in the first person. Ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? Why did I feel this way? And on the other half of the trials, we told them to do the same exact thing, but using their own name. So why did Ethan feel that way? And what we found was when people were in the I mode, that led to greater increases in a network of brain regions that are associated with thinking about the self and feeling intense emotional responses. We call it the cortical midline network. When you look at people who are clinically depressed or anxious, you see the same cortical midline being more activated among those individuals than among healthy people. So it's this network of brain areas that seems to play a role in reflecting on one's life. But what was interesting is when we asked, well, what happens when you're using your name? Are you activating these brain regions that are involved in effortful cognitive control? We found that the answer to that question was no. So we saw changes in emotion areas without the activation of these effortful cognitive control areas. And so that was really exciting to us. What we think is happening with these distant self-talk instructions is we're getting people to think about themselves just a little bit more like they think about other people. And, you know, the extension is that reducing how immersed people are in their experience, that can be sometimes really useful for helping people think more constructively and objectively about really painful life experiences.
If you'd like to try the Gaining Perspective on Negative Events practice or explore other happiness exercises that might be the right fit for you, visit our Greater Good in Action website at ggia.berkeley.edu and then email us at greater@berkeley.edu and tell us about it. I'm Dacher Keltner. Thanks for joining me on The Science of Happiness. We've moved to a bi-weekly schedule and look forward to sharing all new episodes with you in 2 weeks, and every 2 weeks after that without interruption.
Our podcast is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRI PRX, with production assistance from Jenny Cataldo and Ben Manila of BMP Audio. Our producer is Shuka Kalantari. Our associate producer is Annie Berman. Our executive producer is Jane Park. Our editor-in-chief is Jason Marsh. Special thanks goes to UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. You can learn more about the science of happiness and find related articles, videos, quizzes, all kinds of stuff on our website, greatergood.berkeley.edu. And shoot us an email. Tell us what you think about what you heard. Send it to greater@berkeley.edu.